Hello and welcome to another episode of Omoluabi Podcast, where African proverbs meet biblical wisdom. My name is Joseph.
And I am Anu. Welcome.
So today we're going to be considering a proverb that is about ownership, in a sense, or possession in another sense.
You soon see.
Do you want to help us with it, Auntie Anu?
So the proverb goes, Enitiko ni igi obi ki ile so.
Say that again.
Enitiki.
Go on.
Enitiko ni igi obi ki ile so.
Sounds sweet in your mouth.
Oh. You say so.
Enitiko ni igi obi ki ile so. What does that even mean?
So literally means if someone does not have a kola nut tree, then the person would not have the fruits of the tree.
But is that how it plays out in reality? Like, can't I go to the market and buy and buy some kola nuts without necessarily having to have the tree in that sense?
For you to buy means you're not, it's not yours. You're buying from the owner and having a part ownership of what has been owned already. So you can't say, this is my fruit. It doesn't have, you only have the fruit. You don't have the history connected to the fruit.
But actually, I think this is where the issue of context comes in with the proverbs, as it were. This proverb, more often than not, will be used in a situation whereby they are trying to tell an unmarried man who is laying claims to the children of a particular woman that he's not married to say, you can't say you are the owner of this child not having married the mother. Does that make sense? It is because you have this that you have this other thing to show for it. It's almost like a prerequisite. Actually, I think that's the word that we're looking for in the beginning. The proverb is about prerequisites. You need to have been in possession of one thing
to get another
before you can then say, before you can lay full
claim,
that's the word, on something that comes from it. So to be in possession of igiobi naturally infers that you will also be the possessor of the fruits that come from the kola nut tree in that sense. Okay, so in a biblical sense, to bring out a biblical tangent to it from that perspective, one of the direct analogies that comes to mind is the fruit of the Spirit. In Galatians 5, 22-23, Paul had first of all listed what he called works of the flesh from verse 19-21. And then he gets to verse 22 and he lists 9 qualities. And actually, if you look at those qualities, I mean, we're talking about love, joy, peace, gentleness, faithfulness, patience, kindness, goodness, self-control. These are things that someone that is not a Christian could have, could be in possession of to some degree. But the reality of what love is, of what peace is, of what self-control is, and all of these expressions of the fruit of the Spirit can only find expression in the life of someone that possesses the Spirit that gives rise to those fruits. Everyone that is born into the world is born in a sense with a nature that is capable of doing good but inherently faulty. And no matter how much goodness comes from our human nature, our Adamic nature, the natural nature that we are born with, it can never meet up to the expectations of God. The Bible says they are like filthy rags, even our righteousness. When we are at our best, when we are at our best with being loving, when we are at our best with being peaceful or peacemaking, when we are at our best with being gentle, when we are at our best with being good, apart from Christ, apart from the Spirit of Christ, apart from the life that God gives, every expression of such good virtues would still be unacceptable to God, because you can't lay rightful claims on the fruits of the Spirit without possession of the Spirit. And to possess the Spirit is to have believed in the finished work of Jesus Christ.
Yes.
So, I mean, that's just a direct application that comes to mind. That's because it ties into that fact that actually some people can be in possession of a cola nut or of some cola nuts without necessarily having a cola nut tree. But really, the prerequisite link is broken, and you can only claim a sort of secondary ownership. You can only claim a sort of transactional ownership. But the kind of ownership of the fruit of the Spirit, for instance, that we're talking about, will come naturally out of an outflow of being Spirit-filled, being in koinonia, in fellowship, in communion with the Spirit that produces those fruits. I don't know if there's any other biblical image that comes to your mind.
Yes, it does. Well, before the biblical part,
yeah,
while you're talking, something came to my mind.
Okay.
Let's say you own an orange tree, yeah? Mm-hmm. And I buy an orange from you, from your orange tree.
Yeah.
Yes, it's not from my tree, but I actually have a fraction of what is yours.
Yeah.
What's coming to my mind is, I only need to think about my part of my ownership of the fruit if it is challenged.
Okay.
Like, ordinarily, if I want to eat the fruit, then I don't have to think about where it's coming from.
Mm-hmm.
But when someone comes and say, "Hey, that looks like mine. Where did you get yours from?" That's when I start thinking back and tracing myself. Oh, I got it from Kola, and we'll be able to trace it. Say, "Oh, really? I sold it to her."
Mm-hmm.
So coming to our spiritual life now, like you said, Kola, rightly, most people possess this nine fruit of the Spirit,
but a similitude of it,
and would go fine in life until the devil comes and challenges them. And that is where it begins to break apart, and then they are floundering and confused, and there's nowhere to stay. It brings to mind John chapter 15 verse 5, which says, this is Jesus talking, "Yes, I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever lives in me and I in him shall produce a large crop of fruit. For apart from me, you can't do a thing." Apart from me, you can't respond to the devil when he challenges you and asks you who you are. You can only claim whose you are if you know your source. If you have the tree, if you can say, you're asking me who am I? Don't you know my father? I am a child of God. And you begin to proclaim the things you know of your father. But if your source is the secondary source, like I bought the orange from Kola, I don't really own the tree. To bring it back to context here, what most of us do is we get most of our resources, most of our understanding of God and the Bible from secondary sources. Our claim to God is secondary, but Jesus is saying in John 15, like, whoever lives in me and I in him, it's not whoever lives in your pastor and I in the pastor that gives you the information, or whoever lives in the secondary sources you get your information from. So let this proverb bring you back again to check yourself, to say, am I in him? Am I fully committed to God? Am I learning about him? When they say Bible verses in church, do I go back to check what it is? Do you ponder like Mary did when things were said to her about Jesus? Or do you just post things on Facebook as they come? I'm saying that our Christian walk with God, it deserves taking a moment, taking a step back from all activities, and just soaking yourself in that presence of God, owning him as much as God or Jesus owned us, because he said whoever lives in me and I in him, it's a vice versa thing. So let this week and going forward rethink your strategies, rethink how you've been learning about God. If you have been doing it on your own, fine, put more effort into what you're doing. But if you haven't started, it's actually sweet. It's sweet to read these Bible stories and understand it yourself. I'll give you an example. I recently heard about the story of Balaam and Balak in our church during one of our growth track. I've always heard it in person when in church or sermons, and I kind of understand it to a degree. Mm-hmm. But when I went into it to read for myself, I didn't realize that's a part of the Bible where God said, I am not a man that will lie. Mm. It's just like putting pieces of the puzzle together, and it filled my mind, and I thought, wow, the richness of God's word. And the thing is, I can only fit the puzzles together because I've already had the secondary sources. So secondary sources are good, they are rich, but they complement, like we said in our previous podcast, they are complementary.
Mm-hmm.
And not the real thing. So let us go out and get our igiobi so that we can own the eso.
That's deep. That's profound. Thank you very much. Reminds me of what Jesus said to the woman at the well. If you know who it is that is asking you to give him a drink, you would have asked him to give you a drink. And the water he would give you would actually become in you fountain of living waters. So like you rightly concluded, our igiobi, our tree of kola nut in this case, is metaphorically speaking Jesus himself. Mm. I am the vine and you are the branches.
So we kind of grow out of him.
And so we therefore bear fruits because we are in him. Because in a sense we possess him. The tree possesses the branch just as much as the branch possesses the tree. It's the tree that gives life, if you will, to the branches. The vine, as it were, give life to the branches, and then the branches give rise to the fruits. So eniti kobani gilbi kileso. If the person has any eso, it's counterfeit. It's not the real deal. The real deal comes from a direct contact, a direct possession, if you will, of the tree. And may that be our reality. May that be our experience as we go into this week and into the rest of our journeys. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Till next time when we see you on this podcast, remain an
Omoluabi.
God bless you. Bye. Amen.